Solomon was
making a contemplation concerning the wisdom that comes from the Word of God. When you wait upon God, and when God gives to you the wisdom, how you should order your life, you find that it is beautiful. Because all of life's jigsaw puzzle would be put in place when you abide and you understand the wisdom of God. And so Solomon also said in Proverbs 4 verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. When we find, when we know God's ways, and when we are willing to obey them, you'll find that our spiritual life prospers. These are the words that the Lord gave to Moses also when he began the conquest of the promised land. You remember when Israel came out of Egypt, they were a people, and in the wilderness God gave them a law. But it is only when they enter the promised land that they would become a nation, and God would lead them in that conquest. And Joshua was the leader whom God hath appointed. And God said to him, gave to him what he ought to do to have success. And, you know, he was one of the most successful generals in Israel's history. And this was the secret for success that God gave to Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. The enemy is going to be very strong, at least to you, when you look at him physically. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land. God has already given you, promised to you, this land that he would give to you, that he has promised to your forefathers. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And don't we all need to be reminded, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You find that life with God is tremendous blessing. And God wants us to understand. Our story opens in chapter 3. In the life of Ruth and Naomi, you see there has been a turnaround in their lives since they returned to Israel. When they were in Moab, they suffered greatly. They were prosperous when they left Israel for Moab, when there was a famine in Israel. And in Moab, they lost everything. Three of the men who went with them died. And finally, they came back with nothing. As it were, nothing, you know. But they have come back to the center of God's will for their lives. They have come back to Israel, the land that God has allotted to them, the place that God has given to them for their spiritual prosperity. And when they came back, you know, Naomi was full of bitterness, right? She was not happy to have come back. You know, she said that God had dealt severely with her. But, you know, as we have studied, we say that she was in the center of God's will. God had sent Ruth to take care of her all the way, you know, back from Moab. There was this young daughter-in-law, right, with all the strength to take care of the elderly mother-in-law. And God used Ruth to change the perspective of Naomi. And, you know, in our last chapter, we have seen how Ruth went out to find food that day, and how she committed her life to God, and how she returned with bags full of grains. How is that so? Well, she can only attribute the cause to God, that God had led her. And when we have committed our lives to the Lord, we too will experience the leading of God in our lives, and God will show us the way, and we will know it. We'll be so happy because we see, you know, God helping us to triumph in the battles of life. So our story opens in chapter 3 with Ruth returning from a blessed day of harvesting in Boaz's field. How did Ruth get to Boaz's field? Well, it was by the providential hand of God. And how is it that Boaz showed so much favor toward Ruth? It was by the providential hand of God. And you can see that God had led her to glean in Boaz's field, and she experienced the guidance of God, and she came back to inform Naomi of all the good that God had done for her that day. And so our story opens today in chapter 3 with two thoughts: the counsel, verses 1 to 4, and the concurrence, verse 5. We see here a turnaround for Naomi. She was no longer depressed. She experienced God's grace flowing in her life again as she got back into the center of God's will for her life. This is where she belonged. She belonged in Israel, and she's back to the land that God had allotted to their ancestors. This same land belongs to them. And, you know, even the law of God made provision for their care. The widows are to be taken good care of by the people. There is a special providence in God's word to help them. And so she understood, and she was thinking in her mind as the Lord restored her, as she came back to the Lord. The Lord was leading her on a plan for the daughter-in-law. You know, all this time, Ruth has been thinking for Naomi. And now, instead of wallowing in bitterness, you see Naomi now having her spirit restored, was in a frame of mind to think for the welfare of Ruth. That is how, you know, spiritually speaking, a turnaround in our spiritual state would lead us. That we, you know, instead of focusing on ourselves and our own woes and our own troubles, you know, and be bitter about it, right? Somehow we find peace with God. And when we find peace with God, we are able to start to think, you know, of the people around us, the environment confronting us. And, you know, we would be sensitive to the needs of the people, and we would be willing to, you know, spend time to think, you know, in what way we can enhance the life of the people around us. This month of harvesting, while Ruth was out there, you know, in the heat of the day to bring food on the table, now she was back home thinking, right, what she ought to do for Ruth. Well, our text tells us that she became a matchmaker, and she said, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest," verse 1 says, "for thee, that it may be well with thee?" We are coming to a really crucial point in Ruth's life, because her wedding, her marriage to Boaz, right, would begin a line of descendants leading to David the king, and leading all the way to Christ the Messiah. my God was leading them on a blessed path to fulfill His will. God, you know, requires us, His people, to do His will as He fulfills His good pleasure. And from there, you see how His people would be blessed as they rest their life upon His leading. And so we see now Naomi was determined. She was resolved to find rest, find help for and security for her daughter-in-law. That's the meaning of the word rest there in verse 1. Ruth, you know, on her part, thought that, you know, her life would be given up to taking care of her mother-in-law. And mother-in-law is aging. If she were to think about her future, there's not really any future for a widow taking care of an older widow. The mother-in-law is not going to get married again, and so, you know, they are not going to, life is not going to improve, as it were, as widows. But now there is a change. There is that possibility that this arranged marriage could lead to something wonderful in the life of Ruth. And, you know, it is a custom in these ancient times for parents to arrange marriages for their children. And so to find this rest literally means to find a home, a settlement, a place for Ruth to settle down, a secure home for the husband. And that was what Naomi was thinking for her daughter-in-law. And, you know, there's this custom, the custom of levirate marriage in Israel, where if an Israelite a man had died, right, and he married someone that is without children, right, it is the duty of the brother to marry the widow so that he may establish his brother's name in Israel. So the son that comes will bear the brother's name and will receive the inheritance. So, you know, in that sense, the inheritance, the bloodline is propagated in Israel. Because, as we said before, you know, every tribe, every family is allotted their piece of real estate. And this real estate that is allotted to them is theirs, right? And it is up to them to keep. And so the Lord was leading Naomi in this process of finding the man that would take care of Ruth in the day that, you know, Naomi would pass on. And there is this levirate law that is in Israel that would allow a kinsman to marry the deceased widow in order to give seed to the family. And as we see here in our text, verse 2, Naomi pointed out to Ruth that Boaz is our kindred. He's a relative of ours, right? And, you know, so there is something that he potentially can be made the legal heir of the inheritance. And so the mother-in-law instructed her, verse 2, the second partner, "Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." How did she know that Boaz is going to be there? Well, she has done her homework. She was very concerned, and she knew that Boaz was a good man. Boaz was a godly man. She understood that, you know, although Boaz was an older man, okay, it is not for an older man to, you know, approach a younger lady. He wouldn't do that. But so, and now she is instructing Ruth to do this, right? Something that the man Boaz would not. Right? And you see how, you know, God is leading this process. So what did the mother-in-law said to Ruth? Wash thyself therefore and anoint thyself, right? And put thy raiment upon thee and get thee up to the, down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the men. Well, what was she saying to Ruth? Well, she was asking her to prepare herself, to apply oil on the body. It is a process of preparing herself, you know, for an important occasion, and she was to put on a heavy outer a garment, that's the raiment, right? She was to wash and perfume herself, and she was to prepare herself, right, to meet Boaz. And so Naomi has pointed out that this man is your relative, and potentially he can be the man to marry you. And the, you know, and so what she asked her to do, verse 4 says, you would lie down and uncover his feet. What does it mean? Well, this is an Old Testament expression of an engagement or a marriage contract or marriage proposal. And you know, there's nothing untoward, immoral in that whole process. Okay, he's speaking about, you know, it's a custom, right? What she is doing is just an expression, right, of a marriage intent. And if Boaz were to agree, right, it's going to be you know, out of the sight of the people. So Boaz is going to have to make a choice. If he would want to accept this, you know, this marriage, right? And you know, she's a widow, and he's a, in that sense, eligible old bachelor. So this is the story that is going on, and what to do, and. So you see that, you know, God was leading, and Naomi gave the instruction, and Ruth was receiving all this instructions concerning her life partner. You know, marriage is a very sacred thing. And marriage is a, you know, for a man or a woman, is for a lifetime. When we, you know, make that vow to marry somebody, it's for a lifetime. No turning back. You know, we do not say our vow already and say, hey, you know, there's somebody else in my mind. We have to take all these things out and, you know, be focused that this is the woman that God has given to us, and this is the woman that, you know, and this is it, right? God will prosper that relationship. And so God was leading Ruth in that direction through the words of Naomi. And you'll find that, you know, as you come into the center of God's will, as you pray, as you seek God to do His will, like what Ruth was doing, right? What was she doing? She was honoring her mother-in-law, right? Going out every day in the sweat of her brow to bring in the grain. And what did God say? For those who would honor their father and mother, well, God promised them His blessings. And, you know, you see God's blessing coming upon her as she did her daily duty, you know, as she abide, you know, in obedience to the will of God. Right? You see God leading and guiding her. God turning, you know, Naomi's spirit around, and And then God led her to show kind, to find a way up for Ruth. Right? She's a Moabitess. Right? She's a foreigner in Israel and a widow. Most difficult. And yet, you find that out of this impossible situation, God worked out something most beautiful. If we are only willing to trust God, if we are only willing to, keep faith with Him, He will surely lead us and He will surely bless us with His sovereign care over our lives. And that is the theme of our thought here. Under His wings, when we come under the care of God, every detail of our life is in His purview. There is nothing that is outside, His care, His love for us. His love for us is so complete. His love for us is so wonderful. You know, He takes care. He knows, right? Even the minutest detail of our life, even the very hairs of our head, right? God knows. And so when Naomi gave these instructions to Ruth, what did she say? She said in verse 5, the concurrence, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Right? Ruth stated that she would act in full and unquestioned obedience to the directions of her mother-in-law. What a wonderful situation, isn't it, for Ruth. Right? Naomi was doing all these things for her interest, so that she may find security, a husband and a home. And therefore, she relinquish her own claim to the marriage and property, and instead, bequeathed it to Ruth. So Ruth, being a stranger to Israel and a stranger to Israelite customs, needed to be led. And it is the same in our lives. When we walk with God and when we seek His blessing for our life, you'll find that God brings people our way, and you find that God provides for us, and God helps us in miraculous way that we cannot comprehend. And God wants us to continue to look to Him, continue to trust Him as we align ourselves in the center of His will, doing what we ought to do. God will certainly bless. She agreed with Naomi's counsel, and because she knew that it was for her interest, she loved her mother-in-law, and she knew that she meant good for her. In conclusion, we observe here the invisible hand of God fulfilling His will in the life of Ruth. You see, only when you have the whole, you have the hindsight of Scripture, would you be able to see, how down the generations God is going to bless the family so greatly. Right? But now, as she, as she has to make that trip down to the threshing floor that day, it is going to be a momentous turning point in her life. And Naomi is going to lead her, give her all the necessary instruction to her blessing. And behind it all, we see the invisible God guiding and blessing our lives. Indeed, this is the blessing of walking in the center of God's will. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for bringing us to study the life of Ruth. And we see, O Lord, this blessed life of obedience, this blessed life of faith, and we see the blessedness of thy grace abiding in the life of thy people. O Lord, help us to understand the great privilege that we have as thy sons and daughters in Christ. All the wisdom is that we can ever need is in Christ Jesus. And Lord, may thou help us to see the blessedness that we are in when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. May we appropriate all that thou hast for us. For in thy word it is said, without me ye can do nothing. Indeed, Lord, we can do nothing without thee. But with thee we can certainly bear much fruit. So Lord, may thou help us to abide in thy will and to bear much spiritual fruit in each and every one of our lives for thy own honor and glory. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.